Some bomb hay sitting on the couch, we could parlay. I could be a sponsor, Shark Tank. In the morning, wake me up like a latte. Whipped cream all over your body. Same question, do you wanna party?
Do you wanna party tonight?
Subject, we never dismiss Big Talk and Brewskis with Marissa Smith. Comedy, sex, relationships, more. Any subject, we got it in store. Big Talk and Brewskis is coming in live. Crack when open, Marissa has arrived. Big Talk and Brewskis with Marissa Smith. Yeah.
Hey guys, happy Friday! This is Big Talk and Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. I've got Rodney Daniels with me.
What's up, guys? Happy Friday.
And we've got Alex Pichero with us.
Hey, guys. What's up?
How you doing, Alex?
Oh, I'm excited.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's a happy Friday.
Yeah, it's the weekend.
It is. Mm-hmm. So how was your week?
Oh, it's been a nightmare.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh. What do you have going on?
I'm moving.
Oh,
moving
that's
apartments
the worst.
In New York City.
Oh, God. So where are you moving to?
So I live in Sci-Town, or I guess I used to live in Sci-Town.
Okay.
Sci-Town.
Sci-Town. Yeah.
Stuyvesant.
Stuyvesant. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't. That's another.
It's like right near Otto's, right?
Right by Otto's.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's 14th. It stretches from like 14th to 23rd.
Okay.
It's like this whole. A lot of NYU students live there. I had like a crazy deal that I don't have anymore.
Oh, so, shit.
Yeah, the 2-year lease is up, and they're like, we need you to pay, like, way more money. So I was like,
bye.
Nah, yeah. So I'm moving Upper East Side, Harlem area, a little bit south of Harlem. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I got
like
a good deal.
Like in the teens?
What do you mean the teens?
Like 113,
oh, no, just under 100. I'm like,
okay.
I just missed that barrier.
Oh, there. Shit.
Yeah.
That's definitely Upper East Side.
Oh, yeah, definitely Upper East Side. There's a lot of old people. I've been moving around, It's quiet.
You just gotta, like, dodge them when you got to go places.
Oh, they're really easy. They're really slow. it's been really... I have gotten a few grumpy... You're making too much racket already.
Fuck,
and
already?
All I've been doing is just, like, walking around my apartment, like, kind of singing along to songs while I, like, clean and move furniture around.
Kind of singing
like,
along. All
right, quit that. Yeah, not even, like, really belting yet. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh,
which I've been known to do.
Right, they're going to learn, huh?
Oh, yeah.
So, like, are you, like, you're moving, like, roommates or significant other? Or?
Well, I lived with a couple. I don't have a significant other. So, I'm moving into a tiny, tiny studio by myself, and I'm so excited.
That is the best right there. It's
so
nice to live by yourself.
Yeah, seriously. It's the first time, I guess. Yeah, it'll be my first time living by myself.
Oh, okay.
Awesome. No, yeah, well, congratulations.
Thank you. But this week has been a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, moving itself is just...
The internet guy came yesterday.
Okay.
And he goes, I can't set this up. And I was like, what do you mean you can't set this up? Like, this is your thing, right? And he's like, no, the wire hanging down from your, like whatever, the main thing.
Yeah.
He said, like, there's no way anyone's touched this wire in 50 years. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, this is completely corroded. If I tried touching this or setting this up with internet, you might get electrocuted. I was like, Jesus.
What?
I was like, maybe that's why I got a good deal.
Yeah.
But they fixed it today, but it was a whole, I had to work from home. I have an office job. So like, I was working from home while like people were setting up internet. And then I had like this big wardrobe thing come from like IKEA. So they had to set that up. It was just, today was rough.
Yeah.
I made it, though.
You made it. You made it. And it's Friday.
Right.
So, Rodney, how was your week?
Well, my week was good. I just, I was off for 3 days. Well, this is the third day off in a row. So
brag much?
that fucking never happens. Like, it never happens. So, it's just like, okay. I was, like, able to relax. I was able to just get laid.
Mm-hmm.
You
nice.
So, it was nice. Yeah. And
beautiful.
Then, I had a Todd Monacy show earlier in the week, Tuesday night. And it was
the UGG show.
Good show?
Yeah, it was good. It was fucking awesome.
Where is
that?
It's
a fun show. It's The Mockingbird?
The Mockingbird.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Lower East Side.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was good. Like, it's like nice to like go like into a room and you know a bunch of comics already.
It's the best.
And like I wasn't hosting, so it was just like I'm just on the show. I got to try some new material, which is like always fun. Yeah. So, yeah, no, so it was good.
Yeah,
was
no, awesome. That's a fun show. And they've got the, what is it, Taco Tuesday. So they've got like $2 tacos.
Yeah, they do.
Ooh. And like $2 tecates.
Oh, my God. I love tecate drink specials.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah.
Why is it so cheap?
It's like $3 tall boys, too.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, it's
and you
crazy.
Don't even drink beer. And you're like,
whew. I mean, well, right. Now
well,
like,
it's
oh,
like,
it's
going to
be a Budweiser night tonight. $3.
I
didn't work today.
Right?
Tecate is definitely like the Budweiser of like Mexican beers.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Is it even, or is it like the PBR of Mexican beer? I'm not sure.
Ooh, PBR. Right? This is like
Corona. Maybe Corona's the Budweiser of Mexican
beers. Yeah, maybe.
But Corona's good. They're both good.
Yeah,
the brewery PBR
are.
Was like down the street from my high school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Where'd you go to high
from
school?
From Milwaukee.
Oh.
Milwaukee High School of the Arts.
Oh, so there's a lot of breweries in
Oh, yeah.
Milwaukee.
There's a lot of breweries
Literally,
in Milwaukee.
The
yeah.
Brewers play in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, PBR is like on the same street as my high school.
I don't... All right. I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret.
Mm. Oh, I like secrets.
I'm not that into PBR.
Oh, I mean.
You know, like, I kind of am with you on that.
Like,
yeah.
You know, it's like the only time I'll do it is like if I'm at like a bar in like Bushwick and they've got like a PBR pickleback special for like $6.
It's always
like
that.
That.
It's it always is. Like that.
Yeah.
That's like the shot in the beer.
That's a Brooklyn beer. I don't know why.
Yeah.
They love it.
It's like you go to like any like bar in like Bushwick or Williamsburg and it's like $6-$7. Excuse me.
Bless you.
Pickleback and a PBR and I'll drink a PBR that way, unless they have like a Miller High Life, like, and then I'll do the Miller High Life instead of the PBR. But I'm not really that into Miller High Life either.
No, I hate Miller High Life. Ugh.
It's not good.
It's like, isn't that like Bud Ice? Like the, all those, like
kinda.
The ass of the beer? Ugh.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of.
Natty Ice.
No bueno.
Oh my God, Natty Ice. You bring me back to college.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't even tell you how many nights I blacked out to Natty Ice.
Goddamn. Wow. If you're blacking out to Natty Ice, that's a lot of Natty Ice.
That is a lot of Natty Ice.
That's disgusting.
Because, like, back in the day, like, no, it's fine. You can judge. It's like, totally back in the day, it's like a 30 pack of Natty Ice was like $10.99.
Yeah, straight up.
Yeah.
It's still pretty cheap.
I think the reason that I don't really like beer is because my first beer was a 211 Steel Reserve.
Oh. The worst. The worst.
I had to be like 15, 16. They're like, I'm not going
to
name names.
Oh, man.
Is the statute of limitations up on
that? Right? Like, here, you're going to drink one of these and you're going to be fucked up. And I was like, what? Yeah,
it's
that
like,
was facts, though.
Have one of these
though.
And relax.
Right?
Oh, my God.
That's probably
why. Yeah, that's probably why. It just, like, ruined my life.
Was that also the
my,
first night you got laid?
No, wait, that didn't happen until I was 19, thanks.
Okay.
Wait, to a guy. Girls when I was 17, though.
Okay.
Okay.
You know. Okay.
That's standard.
How was your week, Marissa?
Yes, nobody asked.
My week was good, you know. I did a show on Tuesday at the Grizzly Pear, and it was fun. You know, like, I don't know why, but, like, the Pear is popping on Tuesdays.
Pear's popping lately.
Yeah, the Pear has really been popping lately. Uh-huh. So I did Neruda Williams' show on Tuesday.
Love Neruda.
Yeah, he's fun. He's fun. Yes. And yeah, so that was like fun. They had a great audience. They were like really into stuff. You know, I've been freaking out about Trump as normal, not sleeping.
Not sleeping.
Like,
oh no.
I feel like I haven't had a good night's sleep since like November the 5th.
November the 5th.
No. It was November the 8th. Because that was my birthday. It was the worst day ever. Yeah. It's when Trump got elected. It was November 8th.
Yeah, but I slept November the 5th.
Oh, okay.
November the 6th and the 7th, I was just like, oh, but what happens if this doesn't go well? And then it didn't go well, and then I haven't slept really since.
Wow, so you pre-Trump didn't sleep. So you were one of the few that was nervous.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, oh, Hillary's got this. I was one of those. Definitely.
Yeah, I was definitely thinking like, oh yeah, Hillary's got this.
I barely was gonna watch. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh my God.
Not really, yeah. And then
I did a show at the Creek that night, and it was like it was an election show, and so we were like and so like we all thought it was just gonna be like so much fun to like like, you know, we're there, and it's like, oh, look, and the map turns blue. And right. Then, like, I just remember, like, when Pennsylvania went, I'm like, oh, shit, this isn't good. This isn't good. And then, like, it was just, like, it just turned into, like, the map turned into a bloodbath. And I'm like, no.
It was like a bloodbath. It was like.
Yeah.
And it was, like, before it was halfway over, it was like, he's going to win. Like, there's no way she's going to win. And I was like.
How did this happen?
Yeah. Usually it goes into like 4 a.m. Nobody knows if it's close.
No,
yeah.
People were literally crying at the bar.
I know. But
and
I
it was my birthday.
That's yeah. I mean,
shit was fucking horrible. Everybody's like, why are you happy? And I'm like, I'm sorry. It's my birthday.
Oh, you'll have to be happy on your birthday.
Yeah.
It's just not going to happen for 3 months anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy, but I just remember, like, and there was, like, a bunch of comics there that were like, there to, like, watch the election, and we were just like, oh, my God, this isn't going well. And then I just remember, like, I never met him before. There was this one comic that was just like, yeah, so, like, when Trump wins, that means that we get to grab you all by the pussy, right?
That's not even funny.
I was just like,
that's not even a good joke. Trump is funnier than that guy.
You immediately started twitching, didn't you, Marissa? This shit's real.
Oh my
God. It's like, how is this happening? Yeah, it was bad.
It's funny because everyone said, like, oh, when at least if Trump wins, it'll be good for comedy. And then obviously it's really not good for comedy.
It's horrible for comedy.
Because the jokes are all like either beach balls, like easy, yeah. Or it just sounds like you're like just at a rally. Like you're like making fun of Trump like everyone else. It's like that's not unique.
So and none like of the audiences don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear Trump jokes. They're tired of it. They don't want to hear it. They're tired of Trump. They just don't want to hear it.
Yeah. I tell them anyway.
Yes.
I'm sure you make it work. I'm sure you do. I haven't found any political humor.
No, me either. I've just been staying away from it. Like,
yeah.
A lot of shows I host, so I feel like, you know, I want the audience to like me. Oh, thank you.
Yeah. That's where we met.
I was hosting a show you were on. You're very funny.
Oh, thank
you,
man. Appreciate it.
But yeah, so like I feel like I need the audience to like me. Mm-hmm. So like, you know, I gotta be up there, up and down, up and down, up and down. So like if I like start out with like Trump jokes and shit.
Yeah, no. I mean they'll like you for it, but it'll get old.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's
hate
the
me
thing that I'm finding the difference between like bar shows and club shows right now is that like bar shows, I feel like you can go real Trump heavy and everybody's on board and they're with you. But like if you start doing Trump jokes at like a bar, like a club show, then like you could start feeling slowly the ass is tightening up.
Yeah.
But I feel like at a bar show, like they're just like, yeah, like fuck that orange turd. Like, you know, but then at a club show, it's like, but I think it's because they're mostly tourists and they probably come from Trump country and they're just like, oh, you're making fun of our leader. Like, you know.
Leader. I wonder how many of them are left. I mean, there's got to be a huge percentage of people that voted for him that don't, that aren't with him right now, right? I mean,
I
maybe
don't
they're
know
still with him. I don't know.
We live in a New York City bubble.
I know. Yeah, we don't know.
Yeah.
What are we,
no.
What do we
know?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's definitely Trump land.
Well, yeah, but
there.
I'm just saying objectively, he's made so many like buffoonish errors like since he's taken.
But like the people that elected him don't really.
But like
they're people though. They have brains. Like
no.
All
right, fair enough. Hey, I got someone's got to put this side.
Yeah.
No, fair enough. Like, that's a good point.
Don't have brains.
I really don't have a better point. So,
no,
yeah.
I mean, some people like I've watched some like. Some of what Trump feels is fake news, like do those like exit interviews and like do just like kind of like market research, I suppose, with Trump people. And like a lot of them say that they love what he's doing. They just don't like the tweets and they feel like the tweets. Yeah, that's it. They're like they love what he's doing with. Like international policy and they love what he's doing with like the economy, but like what has he actually done? But this goes back to the brain question.
It definitely does.
Like, you know,
well I don't mean to interrupt, but from my experience, because I went to school at a pretty big school. I went to Northeastern, so there was people from like around the country, so I've stayed in touch with people that are from Kansas.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm from Wisconsin. Yeah.
Well, yeah, sure. So, like, you would know. Then, I don't know. Personally, I've heard a lot of people kind of go to the middle from being super Trump, but maybe it's because it was college, young, educated people who just wanted to, like, fuck the system, man. We're not voting for Hillary. They really wanted to vote for Bernie. So maybe it's a small sample size of people, but they've flipped on him, people that I've talked to.
Yeah. So like,
and specifically, it's been about, like, just embarrassing us, like, you know, like things he said to North Korea and the freaking
Rocket
paper
Man
towel. The like, Rocket Man. One thing, objectively, I do think that's kind of funny. I don't know why it's such a stupid name.
I just want Elton John to sue the shit out of him.
I know, right? Like, it's an obvious copyright. He doesn't care.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny just that it's stupid. I don't know. He shouldn't be the president.
It's it's like save us, Elton John. You're our only hope. Like, just put like a cease and desist. Like, you know, he cannot use the title of my song to menace another nation or threaten nuclear apocalypse. Like,
yes,
he can't use my song for that. You know, I feel like we should start a tweet campaign, save us, Elton John.
Oh my god, yeah. You should totally say
yeah,
that.
Like hashtag save us Elton John.
Hashtag Rockman. Hashtag Rockman.
Hashtag don't let him kill us all.
Yeah. Great.
But like
you can sue the president, right? Like you can sue him, right?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Well, he's like the ultimate sewer, though. He's known for suing people.
Yeah, yeah. Even before, you know, litigious.
I think he's like sued like over 100 people.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Crazy.
I'm not litigious.
Like, I'm so not litigious that I've never used the word litigious before. That was very good use of that word. Context clues. I think I know what it means.
Right. Like, yeah, I don't sue people.
See, yeah, right here on Big Talk and Brewskies, you learn your SAT words.
That was the big talk part. Right?
Yeah. It's the big talk. Yeah. Hashtag big word.
big words.
So yeah, it's just crazy. And then did you see his press conference yesterday where he's with like the military leaders and he's like, oh, this is the quiet before the storm. And then the reporters are like, what storm are you talking about, Mr. President? What storm? And then he's like, don't worry, it's the quiet before the storm. But like, but can you elaborate?
You're like,
it gets better.
Oh, don't worry about that.
Wait, don't worry about that. Just, you know,
we're in the eye of the hurricane. Don't worry about it.
It totally gets better. So then this reporter follows up. But Mr. President, can you please elaborate more on what storm you're referring to? Like, what's happening? And then he's just like, you'll see soon. Like, I mean,
fuck.
What does that mean?
Is this a military press conference?
Like, he had dinner with, like, all these, like, generals and, like, military
leaders.
Of the
U.S. Army.
Yeah.
Yeah, got it.
Yeah. And so, like, then he's like, yeah, this is a quiet before the storm. Like, are we invading Venezuela? No, like, what are we doing?
What the fuck?
I hope not Venezuela. That's where my mom's from. Like, I really hope. I mean, I don't really care too much about it, but she was born there.
Yeah.
God damn.
Yeah. Because... what idiot told him Venezuela has oil? That's the first question.
Right? <Yeah.
laughs> He's just like, wait a second. Oil. They have oil and you can fly there in 3 hours? We're going to take that country.
It should
like,
be ours.
It's crazy.
Oh, my God. That's like, my stomach just like dropped. The what the fuck storm are you talking about?
Yeah, that shit scares me.
Global that was right really before I fell asleep.
Scary.
So like,
right before you actually fell asleep?
Oh, my God. Now I'm not. Yeah.
No. Totally yeah. No. Sleeping. She has insomnia. Like that's
yeah.
I'm
straight
like,
up. Yeah, yeah. It sounds like
you fell
did.
Asleep.
Yeah. Like, well, that was already at like 1 a.m. But like. Yeah, it's been crazy.
Have you ever thought about unplugging from the politics thing because of like the way it's affecting like your sleep habits, for example?
I've thought about it, but then you know I'm also afraid that like the day I'm supposed to evacuate is the day that I'm not going to be watching.
The day I'm supposed to evacuate. That's fair enough.
You're gonna know.
I think you're gonna know. Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know.
You're gonna know.
I don't know. It's like, oh my god, why is everybody running?
Like, oh my god, that's a horrific thing to think about.
I know.
Everybody in fucking New York City running, evacuating New York City.
It's gonna be impossible.
That's a fucking nightmare.
I think that's one of those where you just stay behind. You just let it go. You let it
just
happen.
Let it go.
Oh, yeah.
You just grab your ankles.
Dude, you let grab your ankles. I don't know what you're doing. I don't know. I'll try.
That's a euphemism for get
fucked. Half an hour on yeah.
That's what's happening.
Yeah. Yeah. The funneling out of Manhattan would be it'd be a nightmare, man.
Yeah.
It would be impossible if that ever was like a thing.
The only solace is that there is an underground tunnel system under Manhattan that used to be like
we talked about this.
Yeah, what? So like back in the day with like bootleggers, they built like Al Capone and like Joe Kennedy
and all
that.
Yes,
like
Italianos, Paisans.
They built a tunnel system that goes, I would say, almost to like Boston, down to the city, could like bootleg like booze back during Prohibition. And so like, I don't know.
Is it untapped? Like it's not being used right now?
No. And so like, I don't know how in repair it is,
right?
Because this is like back from like the 20s during like Prohibition or whatever.
That's a long time ago.
But like, you know, there is a tunnel system.
Trapped in a tunnel.
Would be able to like get out. Because like, I live in
scary.
I live in Yonkers, and like every once in a while.
You live in Yonkers?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I was, do you know Rockland County?
Yeah, yeah.
So I was born in the Bronx and then raised in Rockland County.
Oh,
nobody
like
ever knows Rockland. Brooklyn.
City or?
Wow, you get, yeah, New City.
Okay. Exactly.
Like, nobody ever knows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, wow. Cool. But like, I'm in Yonkers and sometimes we have like streets that collapse and it's because it's like the street has like kind of like borne through the top of the tunnels and then they go down, down there and it's like, oh, this tunnel is 60 miles long. Like,
oh, like know. A hollow sort of like that there's space there.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that happens a lot. And that actually makes sense. That it would be Yonkers because that's the route up to Boston. There.
Yeah.
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 And I bet a lot. I know that they used to bootleg from Canada to Illinois, like Chicago to Canada.
Mm-hmm.
They probably have a bunch there too.
Okay. So
there's
hard hats and battery pads.
Yeah.
And flashlights.
It's not me and you leading this surge.
Well, I mean, I'm just trying to get out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who do I need to follow?
Who's going to figure this out?
Yeah.
I'm carrying fucking water with me everywhere.
I feel like you're going to be a beast. This one right here.
Strap on to her. That's it.
For real. You're going to have it all figured out. And you're going to be like fucking chopping down zombies and like.
Uh-huh. I started taking sword fighting. I did.
Oh, in the eye with shit.
Like, sword fighting?
I started taking Japanese sword fighting classes. I did.
Wait,
this is so fucking awesome, Marissa
Smith.
Does that
cost money?
You can try different ones for free. Mm-hmm. Like, I haven't found a school yet that I want to, like, commit to. Because, like, it's a lot of, like, time in my schedule. But, like, I have been shopping around.
Yeah, I'm like, where does she have the time for Japanese sword fighting?
Yeah, like, I've been shopping around. I feel like, you know, if
I... Do you have a day job?
I do.
Yeah, so you're using up all the hours in the day.
Yeah, because we're going to be dead soon.
Yes.
You can't sleep anyway, so what are you going to do when you can't sleep?
Everything. We're all going to die.
This is so funny.
Yes.
Oh, man. You got to laugh, right?
You have to.
Yeah. Do you have a choice? Right. If not, you're going to be fucking crying.
Yeah.
It's
very close to crying, laughing.
Think about it on a real shit level. Uh-huh, like. Uh-huh.
Right. I'm already to like the can't sleep constipation point of my year.
Right. I'm like, this is November, folks.
A terrible point in the year.
It's like before here. I couldn't sleep, but I could poo. And now I can't poo and I can't sleep.
Oh,
so I'm just like, ah.
Oh, man. Wow.
Yeah. Oh, it's a lot.
I'd say that's the constipation thing is worse. That's worse than not sleeping. That's so uncomfortable.
It is.
I had my appendix taken out when I was like 19.
Oh, wow.
Was the only... Oh, it's not a big deal. It happens to like... Isn't it like 1 in 4 guys have an appendectomy or some shit?
I mean, but like...
It's a lot of guys.
The pain, though.
Oh, it was pretty bad. Like, it was brutal
beforehand.
You could almost
die.
Yeah.
Well, it was... they said it was like a few minutes away from bursting when I got to the emergency room. And I know a guy who had his burst, so it was like a horrible thing.
Yeah.
But mine was... Like, I was basically... It went from a mild stomachache to like a super severe stomachache for 3 straight days, and like Tylenol wasn't cutting it and shit. So then I went to the emergency room. They did the test where they like stick your finger in your stomach, the left side of your stomach.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like on the release is where all the pain comes in, and it was the sharpest pain I've ever felt in my entire life. Like, it felt like someone was stabbing you. Like,
oh, wow.
Legit.
Oh, my God.
So they were like, yep, that's appendicitis. We're going to need to get you to surgery. So they, like, rushed me into
surgery. Wait, can that just happen at any time period in your life?
Yeah, I think so. I think actually just in your adolescence is most common. Like men ages 13 to 24 is, like, the highest standard deviation of I looked it up after all this shit. I'm not that smart. that's relevant to me.
To me, right?
Yeah.
What do I need to know about? What
you're probably good,
right? Okay.
Yeah, I think you're good.
Okay, great.
But either way, this was my biggest bout of constipation because they give you painkillers after.
Oh yeah.
And like, it hurt a little bit, but I was like 19, and I was just like, all right, I want to try painkillers. Because it sounds like fun to, like, you know, take a bunch of painkillers. So I took, like, 3 or 4 Percocets, like, at a time, and it felt great. And then I did it again. It felt great. And I did it again. It felt great. And then I realized I hadn't shit in, like, a week. And it was, like, a problem. And then what they don't tell – well, what I didn't know about constipation was, like, if it's been a week, like, it just compounds. It becomes harder to actually – shit.
Release, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So like you're fucked. Like you feel like you don't have to go, but you feel terrible.
Yeah, and like you're bloated and yeah, and you get the pain in the back.
And you know what it is, and you're just like, oh, I just want to shit. It's terrible like feeling. I was in college and it was like I wasn't being healthy anyway.
Shitting in college is the worst anyway, like as it is.
As a freshman, I was like a freshman.
Right, yeah. Was, like, so then you had to shit like
dorms.
Yeah, the dorm toilet.
It was like a floor toilet.
A floor toilet.
Oh, sorry.
I had to like
bring it to you
because like I don't like to shit in front of people or hear people like to hear me shit like or whatever.
Yeah, I never.
So I would have to like wait until like 1 o'clock in the afternoon when like nobody else was in the dorm and like
that's
I would
a good
shit
hour.
Like in a, yeah, it was great. Like because it was like certain point on the fourth floor and that like one bathroom in the corner.
Yeah, aren't you amazed by guys that could just like let loose in the fucking bath? Isn't it?
Bro,
it's that's disgusting
crazy
and it's
and
amazing.
Disgusting and amazing at the same time.
Because it's just like he sits down, half a second later,
you're shitting in front of everybody. It's loud as shit.
And like I try to be quiet, like in a public restroom.
Oh yeah, like
even at home. I'm really these guys make noise, man. It's pretty crazy.
Right. You still kind of giggle when you make noise. Like...
yeah, of course. Who doesn't?
Oh, I can't believe it came out of me.
I don't think I say it like that, but you're a little cuter than me. yeah. but it's amazing. Oh, my God. Yeah, I don't like public shitting. I mean, it's necessary, but I do not enjoy it.
I went to jail for like 4 days in L.A.
Oh, no. What'd you do?
And
you gotta tell me.
I had a warrant for like, I had weed on me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
In L.A.?
Yeah. Like, I didn't pay the ticket. Yeah.
They're really like official about that, right?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. It's like you get a ticket. If you don't pay it, then that turns into a warrant. So anything, you know.
Oh, goddamn.
But yeah, I was there for like 4 days. It was like a holiday weekend. But like, I didn't shit for like 3 days.
Because
I had to shit in front of people.
In front of no way.
Like, literally.
It's not happening.
It's, yeah. No, it's like,
I've thought about
that
situation because my brother's been to jail and he told me about it. I was like, bro.
Literally in front of everybody.
No
a
way.
A room full of like 30 guys.
Guys.
I got to shit in front of them.
Ugh.
See, I don't have problem like shitting in a public bathroom because like to be honest with you, I don't shit at home. I like only shit in public bathrooms. So
what?
It's a
that's
problem.
The craziest thing I've ever heard
it's
in my
a problem
entire life.
That I have. Because I live there. I don't want to like have
what?
That in my house. Like,
well, that does make sense actually. That does kind of make sense.
It's toilets. It goes right down this place. You're never going to see it again.
Like, but it's your private place.
Yeah,
like, you
it's
know?
Like my facials and I like take a nice bath and I like candles. Like I can't be shitting in my little sanctuary. You know, it's like
I see what you're saying, but it's still the craziest
like
thing I've ever heard.
Exfoliate there, I can't. But so like I like poo and mostly at work actually.
Oh,
and,
well, you gotta. I mean, you work in an office.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Me too. I mean, literally, you get there what 9 a.m. That's like poo hour. That's like when you
like,
gotta shit. If you drink beer, that's when you gotta shit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like from the night before.
It's like,
like 8:30, 9 o'clock.
Oh, you don't, you don't know what beer shits are like, I guess.
Oh, I know what Jameson shits are like.
He tells me that's much worse.
But is it Bud Mud?
Bud Mud. God damn. That's some funny shit.
That J-Mo shit is not that Bud Mud.
This has turned gross.
It did.
It's okay.
But
I like to be likable and gross at the same time. That's my energy on stage. That's what I try to do.
That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
We're all about that right now.
Great.
Because everybody takes a shit.
Yeah.
Like, right. We all be forgetting that. Right. Guess what?
Obvious point.
You know?
It's a real obvious point. Right. Yeah. You know that hot model you see on Vogue?
Oh,
she
shits.
She definitely shits.
Yeah, that's always
she
funny to
think
about,
she probably shits more than
everybody
because they all have, like...
They be taking laxatives
exactly,
and shit to make yourself, like,
flatter.
You know?
What would you do if you had to? If you had to be, like, a bulimic white girl or whatever, would you take laxatives or would you make yourself throw up? If you had to. You had to pick.
I would throw up.
Yeah, because then
forcing myself
eat.
To shit and diarrhea. Oh, ugh. That sounds terrible.
Yeah.
I don't know one single girl that takes laxatives, but
I'd rather just take some shits as opposed to like.
Yes. Okay.
Sticking
so
your
you
finger
you have
down
a fear
every time
of vomiting
like,
a little bit.
I don't like it.
Yeah, there's some people that really have a fear of vomiting.
No.
I'm not saying.
I don't even have to like. In college, I used to drink a lot. And I used to end up like drinking to the point where I'd throw up. So like I never put my finger down my throat. No. I just would throw up.
Right.
But that's the worst because then like your the room is spinning and you're just like, oh God, I gotta throw up.
That's like the worst.
But I was also a double zero, so it's
fine. Okay. See, that's why.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, was that? Oh, okay. You mean size. Got it.
Yeah, yeah.
I never, double zero sounds stupid for a size, so I never remember that.
Yeah, it's smaller than a zero. Like, I lost a shit ton of weight from like high school to college, but then I was like throwing up like all the time from drinking in college. So then like, I remember the first time like my mom saw me like after like a break and like she walked past me. I'm like, mom. And like, she's like, oh my God, what happened to you? Like, yeah, no, because I had like lost so much weight.
Wow.
Because like when I checked in the dorms, I was like,
this never happened to me.
I was like 8, and then I went down to like a double zero.
Whoa. Yeah, that's like 800% less.
That's crazy.
Person.
Yeah. I lost, I'm going to say like 25, 30 pounds freshman year.
Oh, wow.
Like,
you guys were like healthy freshman people.
No.
We're not healthy, but like.
Here's what happened.
Losing. Oh, no, here we go.
My parents didn't think like they wanted to put me like on like a meal plan. They were like, no, that's like too expensive.
Right.
We'll just send you money. To like, you know, pay it's never for enough food. Money. Guess what I used the money for?
Weed.
Drugs. Of course. Everyone's got so all these cool like, devices. How am I going to smoke
I'm
going to
buy ramen noodles and spend the rest on weed.
And have like one meal a day.
Right. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah.
Right. And it's like, Friday, you're like so skinny now. Yeah.
Yeah. It sucks.
I hated all the food. So like, basically, I lived off of like cucumbers and carrots, and then I drank a shit ton, and so like then I was just like puking up like cucumber and carrots.
So guys, if you want to lose weight,
cucumbers, carrots, and alcoholism.
And yes.
Yeah.
Cool.
That's a winner's diet.
You, yeah.
Smoke
a whole
weed too.
New you.
Yeah.
Oh man. So like Alex, how do you balance? Like, do you have a day job? You said you did, right?
I do.
So like, how do you balance like comedy and your day job?
Yeah, it's definitely tough. And as like comedy has picked up speed a little bit for me, I've definitely been giving less of a shit at my day job. I was definitely out of college. I was pretty into like trying to move up the ladder and be like, I don't know. Good at my job because if you're gonna
what's your day job?
I work in digital media, which is like the most boring thing ever. I basically advertise online for like companies.
Okay.
So like if they want to run, let's say one of my clients is Lowe's Hotels or Lowe's Department Stores to be more generic.
Right.
If they want to run a campaign on, let's say, I don't know. They want to run a video campaign. They want 1 million views, and they want to run it across YouTube and the Google search network and all those things. Like, I organize those campaigns. I budget it out and basically tell them what to do. Very boring shit, but I got really good at it in, like, my first 2 years, and I got promoted. And this is before I started doing comedy. It's, like,
right.
My first 2 years out of college. So I stayed in the industry.
Right.
So I'm one of the few, and you too, I guess, one of the few comics who has, like, a traditional office job.
Yeah
that's
yeah.
like full-time but also right. comedian.
Yeah
So when I started doing comedy, it was like, okay, I'm getting off of work at 7 p.m and I can't even hit up mics. Like, I can't even, like, any mics I'm gonna hit up are gonna be late night mics, and then I'm gonna be fucking exhausted
the next day.
Yeah, so how am I gonna get good, basically?
Right.
So I actually renegotiated my contract, and I think that this is something that people need to understand, that like, as an employee, as long as you're like good, if you're not like a really, and also if the job is like not replaceable, like where it's like if you're a janitor, they could find someone to clean up. Whatever.
Right.
It's a replaceable job. But like, if they need to work to find someone like you, you have to realize like you have power there. So I basically was like, hey, this comedy thing is picking up faster than I thought. I can't work these 60-hour weeks anymore. Because I'm salaried, so it's not overtime. I'm not getting time and a half.
Right,
I'm not getting
exactly.
shit for that.
Yeah.
Most people don't. So, and now, you know, if you've noticed, most people work from 8:30 to 6 as a standard.
Right.
And our parents were 9 to 5.
Right.
There's a big difference in the average being 9 hours a day versus 8 hours a day. Some days 10 hours. Some days
right.
11 hours. And it's like, I was like, if I'm working 60 hours in a week, I'm just going to leave. I'll give you as much notice as you need. I'll give you a month 2 months, whatever it is, but I can't do 60-hour weeks anymore. I'm gone. They came back to me 2 days later and were like, what about this? And they wrote up this contract. They were like, maximum hours, 35 in a week, minimum 30 in a week, but here's your pay. And so they basically mathematically reduced my pay based on the hours I was working to the hours I'm working now.
Okay.
And it's fucking awesome because it's not like I was.
Because you can make that up in the money you make from comedy.
Sort of.
Kind of.
Well, I'm trying to.
That's the goal.
You know what? Like, honestly, I'm so much happier.
But like, that's the whole thing is you have
so
to be happy.
So much happier. I was making more money in the before, but I'm so much happier now, which is like, what's the money for?
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
And if you're so busy, like, you can't do anything with it anyway.
Dude, I couldn't get on stage. Like, even shows I wanted to, I don't know, I had no time, no energy.
Yeah.
And now I know, okay, 30 to 35 hours a week given the workload. Like, I could plan out my weeks, I could plan out mics, I could plan out shows.
30 to 35 hours is not,
it's not that
that's
bad.
Not bad. That's not bad at all.
I did 35 this week, and it's not bad at all. It basically would be getting in at 9 and leaving at 4 every day if you don't take a day off.
Yeah.
It's 9 to 4.
The least I can do is 37 and a half, and then, like,
oh, they have that, like, stipulate, but that's not bad.
Yeah. And so then, like, on average, I probably do about, like, 40, 41, but then, like,
Good.
My commute is the problem, because, I have, like, a 20-hour-week commute.
Do they pay for that, at least? Or
no.
Really?
Yeah.
They don't give you anything for that?
No.
Bullshit.
So
they should totally do that.
Yeah, but it's just like, and I've been with them like forever. Like, I've been with the company for 12 years.
So wow.
Like, yeah. So
it's a good job. You know what
I mean? You know, and it's just kind of like, if like I need to be like, hey, I got an audition. I got to leave early today. Or
Pretty good about it?
Yeah. It's like, I have this crazy idea that I want to do a podcast. I need to leave early on Fridays. Like, okay. Like,
right, yeah.
I told them that too. They were like, yeah, good luck with the podcast thing. They're like really condescending.
Oh, yeah.
My coworkers are super condescending about my comedy career.
What?
Yeah. Because they all think they're super funny. And, you know, I'm somewhat funny at work, but not really, because I'm just at work. Like,
yeah,
they give me a joke. They're like, give me a joke. You're a comedian, give me a joke.
Obviously, they do that.
Yeah. Oh,
and then obviously, like, it's like, it doesn't really work like that.
Right.
You know,
people don't understand that. Hello.
Obviously.
Like, trying to be office funny and not get fired. Like, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like...
I already let them know that, like,
straight
off
up.
Top. Sorry, I talk about dicks.
Like,
we all talk about dicks. So. It's unavoidable.
It's just like, but like, I remember they asked me to do the company Christmas party once, and I was just
what?
Like,
I would have turned that down immediately.
I was like, no.
Wait. No.
I just had like a shiver.
That's like
the
easiest way to get everybody to hate you at the office.
Yeah.
And also just like think you're terrible or something, because you're not going to make people. They're going to be looking. Because
then they know you like on a certain like professional level.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like it's a whole nother. No.
Dude,
that's definitely no.
And they're like, no, we'll pay you. Like, just tell us what you want. And I was just like, no. Like,
no.
Like, long term, I want to keep this job.
Exactly. Exactly. And if you want to, like, be funny at a corporate gig, you could do it with people you don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You could be clean with people you don't know. But, like, doing that with people you know, they might be like, oh, she's not that funny. And it's like, you're just trying to not get fired. Or even if you were trying to be funny, it's just a different, it's a terrible audience. That would be the worst audience.
I was going to say, on the other hand, though, like, say you had another job offer, and they offered you that, like, I get to roast all these motherfuckers.
Fire.
Yeah, that's true, actually. That'd be really funny.
I hope y'all motherfuckers are ready.
It's true.
And they all ask me, like, do you tell jokes about The Office? Like, no, like, nobody.
Everyone always asks me that.
Yeah, it's like.
I say yes. I'm like, yeah. And then they go, wait, what do you mean? I'm like, yeah. You know, it's come to a show.
I always give people a warning. Don't do anything for me to write a joke about.
Wow, that's scary. I was just not talking from you ever.
Do you ever have people that you're dating be like, don't write any jokes about me?
Oh, because I kind of wait to tell people I'm a comedian.
Yeah, that's smart.
A little bit, like, you know, to like, then I just punch them with like, oh yeah, I'm a comedian. And they go, what? And then.
That's sexier somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And then, then, like, they do ask that question, like, wait, so you're going to write a joke about me? And I'm like, well, don't do anything that I'm going to write a joke about.
I've got guys that say that to me all the time. It's just like, oh, are you going to write a joke about me? It's just like, are you planning on doing something stupid?
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah.
Are like, you going to do something that's...
Like asking
hello?
Me if I'm going to write a joke about you?
Yeah.
Like, it's very annoying.
Does that happen to you?
Yeah, when I am dating... I haven't had like a steady girlfriend for a while, but I do have this one girl who we've been off and on for like a... God, for like 8 years now, I guess.
Okay.
Since like college started. Yeah, we're like both weird. We both have commitment issues, but we both kind of love each other, so that's weird. Anyway, she's in grad school in France right now, so I haven't seen her. But either way, a lot of my material has come from like that. But
okay.
It's not... I'd say only one of the jokes is like maybe like even kind of negative. Most of it's just about me being weird in relationships because that's my kind of humor. I don't really attack people.
Right.
So I'm always pretty good with that, especially even with the office stuff. It's always like me doing weird shit at the office, me not fitting in, like me being
right.
just this outcast. That's funny to me as opposed to like
roasting.
I mean, some people are great at that. Like some people.
Right. Yeah. Cause I'm the same way. Like I'm not that comic that like picks out people like in the audience and just like.
And like grills them.
Grills them.
I don't even know like how to. Ugh.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm not. That's like a whole nother art.
Yeah. It really
people
is.
People get up there and they just like, oh, so where are you from? And then they just like start
boom.
Out. Boom. And I can't. I'm just like, I'm going to just do my jokes.
I'll talk to people in a friendly way. And then
I don't really.
You don't do crowd work?
So it depends. Like, I feel like if I get up and the room is cold because the host hasn't really warmed the room up, I'll do a little crowd work just to, like, get them a little bit, like, warmed up. But, like, I don't really get too, like. You know, like, oh, you guys dating? Oh,
I don't do
was
that
your brother? Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right.
Just simple.
Because I do crowd work, but I like to do like group crowd work.
Group crowd work.
Like, we're
going
to all work together.
Yes.
Yeah.
At this, as opposed to like me just like pointing at
sometimes
somebody.
I don't even let them answer. It's like just part, it's like for the other members of the
That's
crowd, really.
That's the problem, too, though. It's like when you talk to them, then they think they can talk back the
mm-hmm.
whole time.
Yeah.
And it's like, this is not a conversation.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, but that's all you have to say, really, because that's pretty funny. Like,
yeah.
if you say it in the right timing. Everyone will laugh at that.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing for them.
But, like, I just remember, like, I a couple weeks ago, I did sat at the pair, and there was the strangest audience. They were super supportive and fun, but they were, like, super strange.
Yeah.
Nobody really laughed. They just said, oh, that's funny.
Dude.
That's hilarious. Like,
laugh. I know. I've
you know,
that.
And oh. it's just like, oh, you... They're really funny. She's funny. It's like, you know what I mean? And it was just like it's almost like they were like just LOLing, you know? And you're just like, yeah, like you're not a human emoji. Like laugh. Like,
you know? Some people are fucking human emojis now. It's legit. I know a bunch of comics, a lot of female comics that like live in their phones. Like it's weird. They'll be like, ah, that's funny when you tell them the joke, but they're just flipping on their social media. And it's like,
well,
all right, I get it. Like
get
you have like
Tinder
10,000 followers or whatever. Yeah. Like they're good at it. And like some of my really good friends are just like really good at social media and like getting their
that's
shit up.
The part
but it's
that
like
I
they
feel
live
like I
in
need,
their phones.
I need an assistant for it. Cause
me
like,
too. I have
I
no,
fucking,
I'm terrible at it.
I will do a whole show and then fucking forget to like, put anything up about it, like at all. Like
straight up, my best shows. Like, I don't I never mention
straight up, nothing on Instagram, didn't take a picture. Fuck, Rodney, what'd you do last day? Oh shit, I had a show, it was great.
Might I suggest that if you have a website, you have a widget with your schedule hooked to Google Calendar, and then once you put it in your calendar,
it'll
automatically upload to your website. I'm just saying.
Marissa Smith, school name.
Wait, could we talk after
that? So, like, then
really
when
good.
You get booked for the show, you just put it in your Google Calendar and it automatically updates in your website.
Hmm.
I'm just saying.
For those of us with websites.
You know, if you got a website.
I don't have a website.
Under construction.
Yeah, same. Yeah, exactly.
So, Alex, what do you think about OJ getting released?
Oh, this one's fun. I just think it's super, like, how would the people from the 90s, like, react if they saw how little we gave a fuck about OJ getting released right now? Like, I think it's pretty funny that Cam Newton saying something to a reporter, which whatever your opinion is on that, it's whatever. That's more like a hot topic than OJ's just walking around like a free man. Because most people in the 90s, they would, I mean, it was, I wasn't around for it really. I mean, I was maybe 5 years old when that shit happened, but like.
Oh, that's a dorps.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I'm 25, by the way. Yeah.
Oh.
I was born in 92.
Oh, God.
Is that young? I don't know.
Yeah. Yes.
Sometimes it's not, though. Some of these comedians are like, oh, I started when I was 14. You're like, what the fuck, bro? Started when you were 14. Oh, my
last name is. Oh, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, like, yeah, fuck shit, yeah, motherfucker, nah. Goddamn.
Yeah.
Oh, all of them.
Yeah, you can just throw them all out there.
Great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, no.
No, but, yeah, so. The OJ thing to me is like history lesson, but yeah. Still it's like I don't know. It's just so funny to me how like, okay. Like
I remember watching him drive the white Bronco in
yes.
the
cafeteria. Dude, that was crazy.
You were in high school?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Like,
that must
we
have been
were
incredible.
All, like they had a TV in our cafeteria.
They bring
we
it out
all,
for that?
Like, no, we just had a TV in our cafeteria.
Oh, okay.
Like, and so okay. like, then like we were like eating lunch and we're just like, I don't understand. Why is that truck driving away? That's O.J. Simpson? Why is O.J. Simpson in that Bronco? And, like, we're all just sitting there. We were all late for class because we're like, what's happening right now? It's like, crazy. It was just the craziest thing. But, like, I think that that was, like, definitely one of those, like, Rodney King, like, racial divide.
Yes. LAPD.
Yeah, while was happening was, like, definitely, like...
And I feel like...
A lot of shit going down.
Where there was a lot of shit
racial
going down.
Shit.
Well, because of that is the reason why... He got off, I feel like, because...
Maybe.
No,
because based on, like, all the evidence, like, I'm completely in an investigation discovery. Like, I love, true crime shit.
Cool.
And I've definitely, like, watched, like, some OJ shit.
I've watched the OJ shit, yeah.
Definitely did that shit.
I feel like he did.
Definitely did that shit.
I feel like... I'm pretty sure he did.
I don't know
But
that
because
he
was a black man at the time, and, like, with all the racial shit going
and
on...
And he was
they didn't
beloved
let it explode.
By everyone.
Right. Yes. He was, like...
Beloved
O.J.
By black and white people
alike. But, like, this,
alike.
This is my feeling on it, though, is that he would have just hired somebody to do it.
Like, unless he's just a murderer.
Unless,
and he wants
right.
to
like,
murder.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know.
No. You gotta, like, you gotta really get into, like, this man's, like, head. He's this, like, football player. He feels like he owns Nicole. She went and got, like, a new boyfriend.
You gotta remember, she was much younger than him.
He's, like, pissed off and, like,
That's, like, the first time, after all his time he's been famous, that's the first time he's gonna kill somebody, and he's gonna, like, be...
It wasn't the first time he beat her, though. There's
reports. It was definitely an abusive relationship they were in.
Yeah, yeah.
He would like they had like a cocaine issue.
Yeah.
Ray
like,
Rice didn't kill his wife.
No, not yet. No, I'm just kidding. No, of course not. I love Ray. All right, come on.
He definitely had like this like egomaniac like mindset where he felt like he could probably get away with it.
Well, you're probably. I tend to agree with you, but I mean. Look, we can't prove that.
No.
The biggest evidence against him, in my opinion, just like from a personality perspective, is that he fucking wrote that book.
If I did it.
Like, basically jerking off in front of everyone saying, like, hey, this
if
is,
I
did
it.
Like, and I got away with it.
Well, there was also, like, DNA evidence that, like, came up after the fact, like, but if you go to trial and you're acquitted, then...
Double jeopardy.
Yeah.
They can't retry him for that.
No.
So...
I just feel like he would have just hired somebody. My biggest bone of contention with OJ is that he shat upon us the Kardashians.
Wait.
Yes.
Robert Kardashian was his lawyer.
Robert Kardashian was his lawyer. Hey, well, let's
I'm
really
with you on
get
that
into
pass.
This, because that like, whole... Like, he's so, like, attached... Like, Robert Kardashian was his lawyer.
Yep.
But he was also seen partying with Kris Kardashian.
Right.
The rumors are that Khloe
is his daughter.
His daughter.
OJ?
She
looks
daughter.
Just
is that
like... Right?
And they look
yeah,
just like
his
other daughter.
She doesn't
daughter.
Look
like yeah.
fair. Oh,
yeah.
my God.
They're like
that's
the
juicy.
Same height,
you
same
can
face.
Find, like photos of, like,
true,
OJ
man.
And Nicole and Kris all partying together.
Because Nicole and Kris were besties.
They were
some
besties.
Some swinging was going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, hello.
Two
hot chicks in Beverly Hills.
She was fucking amazing.
You know.
Yeah.
Kris was hot back
yeah.
in the day.
Yeah, and also.
And so and, was, yeah, Nicole was
yeah.
she also.
She was amazing looking.
Yeah.
It's pretty crazy. Because even in the 90s, you know when you go back and you look at old photos, at least for me, because maybe it's different because I'm younger, but when I go back, I'm like, usually, like, you look at these girls that were, like, quote-unquote hot, and you're like, their hair looks stupid, and, like, their nose is big, and you're just like, really? Like, they weren't that amazing, but for some reason, she was, like,
Oh yeah, you watch those documentaries, and I'm just like, whoa. She was gorgeous.
Yeah, and
he was like a big black football player.
He was the guy. He was like, an actor too. I mean, he was literally
not just a football player.
He was in country clubs. He was connected.
Commercials, like
Hurts.
That Hurts commercial is like amazing.
So my thing is, all right. So regardless, because we could debate for hours if he did it or not.
But. Wait, but there's like a whole...
Okay, here we go.
There's a whole reconnection that goes around,
okay,
though.
Yeah.
So, you got the mom, Kris Kardashian.
Right.
Was like friends with like OJ. And then her son, Robert Kardashian, has a baby with Blac Chyna.
Right.
Blac Chyna's mom, Tokyo Toni, was on fucking Twitter this week, like, trying to get at OJ. Like, hey, OJ, you know, come over here, da-da-da-da. Like,
and chill? Or come
over
here?
Yeah, like,
and...
no, she's saying, like, come over, I'll, like, pay for your bills. Like...
Did they hook up
You need
before?
A place to stay? No, they haven't hooked up before. But that's, like, a whole...
But her, and let me just back up for one
second.
The mother is
Tokyo who?
And the daughter is China?
Oh,
yeah,
you don't
I'm
know
very
about
confused.
Blac Chyna
I'm with
and
you.
Tokyo
I have,
Toni?
I know. I've heard
know
the name
Blac
Chyna.
Chyna.
Yes.
Okay,
but
well,
I don't
Blac
know
Chyna's
Tokyo
mom
Toni.
Is also a stripper.
Better alliteration.
Her name is Tokyo Toni.
Tokyo Toni's
better
name.
Oh, is Blac Chyna a stripper?
Yeah.
She's like big-ass stripper, right?
Yes.
Right? She has like a
huge-ass
ass.
Stripper.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was also...
Like an Instagram.
She was with Robert Kardashian to have a baby together.
Right.
Dream Kardashian.
Yeah. No, gotcha. I knew that she had a baby with Robert Kardashian, but...
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm still... That's like my biggest bone of contention with OJ is that he brought the Kardashians upon us.
I'm with you on that. A lot, like...
Because that definitely gave him clout to be on, like, E.
Well, that was the whole... Yeah, I mean...
And then the father died, and, you know...
Yeah.
And the father died, and then Kim had the sex tape that came out.
That
like,
was
that,
the,
like,
that
and Kris orchestrated that.
Yes, and then Ryan Seacrest put the show on the air. So
yep.
He was the producer originally of the
Kardashians.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
So once
and now
this,
they've
once
had their
Ray
10-year
uh-huh.
anniversary. Mm-hmm. It's like it's been 10 years.
So once the sex tape came out, I guess he just was like, let's do a Paris Hilton thing with this. Like he jumped on it. Oh, sorry. He jumped on it.
I didn't even know that he was involved with that.
Oh, yeah.
Kim was Paris Hilton's
I'm pretty sure he's
like,
executive producer.
I didn't even know
I don't watch the show.
He's still the executive producer.
Yeah, I don't watch the show, so we don't know
that.
I watch all the shows.
Rodney, we know you watch
the
show.
Like,
I know Kim used to be Brandy's stylist.
She was Brandy's stylist and Paris Hilton's stylist.
And like that's how she met Ray J was because she was Brandy's stylist.
That's also how she met Kanye West.
So she actually did something.
Yeah, before she just did sex tapes.
Yeah, which is fine. I like Paris is better for some reason. I don't know. The green lighting sucked though.
I don't know. I didn't really watch that. The only thing.
Well,
like,
yeah. Why would you?
Act like every day is your birthday.
Like, I'm so with you, man. And like, just the generation of girls that it's produced is like probably my age to 15-year-olds now are just, they're ruined, those girls. Like, they're just emulating Kim Kardashian. That's their hero.
Well, now it's Kylie who's pregnant.
Kylie's gorgeous.
Now, who's her baby daddy?
See, that's the whole thing. I was waiting to talk about this.
Wasn't she with Tega for a while?
Okay, so.
Go on.
Kylie's pregnant.
I know that.
But we don't know who the father is.
Is that right? Nobody knows?
No, they have not talked about it.
Okay, they
but
they
if
know.
You watched the last season of The Kardashians, Kim is looking for a surrogate, and she asked Khloe to be her surrogate. Khloe said no. And so I could see her asking Kylie and then Kylie having a baby for her sister.
This is proving our point. They're using human life as a plot point in their fucking television show.
Fuck, it's so true, but it's so juicy.
Oh, God.
Like,
you guys got...
And this is why we're going to hell in a handbasket.
I mean, look.
I mean, but that makes... That,
in a handbasket.
But wait.
What is a handbasket?
When you... What?
Why, isn't it just a fucking basket?
I was thinking about the other day. Hell in a handbasket. What the fuck is a handbasket?
Yeah.
Someone just wanted to sound cool.
Handbasket is a basket.
Made that shit
with
up.
With a handle for your
goddamn,
hand.
Can you sound stage
goddamn.
But
that makes it, like, really cool, though, right? If, like, you have, like... sisters, and you have a younger sister, and the older sister can't have a baby, so the younger sister decides that she'll carry the baby for her.
I mean, I guess that's logical, but what if it's just her baby?
No, 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 no.
You figured this out. For sure.
Right, because there's one or two options. Either she's, like, carrying Kanye West and Kim Kardashian's egg inside of her, or she's 20 and she's popped up pregnant.
Yeah, but that's could happen.
Case, 20,
yeah. That's very, you know, you're feral. What's the word? Not feral.
Right, yeah.
Viral?
Fertile.
Fertile. I'm really bad. Feral is
terrible.
These
are the Kardashians we're talking about.
Like a cat.
They don't
like a fucking cat.
They don't just come up with, like, accidents, okay? Like,
right, they're orchestrating this. But that's
All right, so is it Tyga's baby is my question?
Tyga?
Tyga? No, well, Tyga had a baby with Blac Chyna.
Wait, I thought Blac Chyna had a baby with Rob Kardashian.
She did.
These people are too damn shady.
That's complete. It's like it's a complete weird map of like who's fucking who, and then they have kids together.
It's too much.
It's almost like getting to the point of like I don't know, like they're a monarchy or something. Like they only.
But now Khloé's pregnant too.
Like the skank royalty.
Yes, but they're royalty exactly. If I mean, who else would be royalty if not Kim Kardashian in our modern culture? Like, who's the queen?
Beyonce.
And who's the king? Okay, fair enough, Beyonce.
Sorry.
Fair enough, fair enough, Beyonce. But she's at least, like, in the court. Like she's in the royal court.
Yeah.
She's one of the most famous people alive.
She is, like, in the royal court, but Beyonce doesn't talk to Kim.
That's fair. I wouldn't either.
Wait, because Beyonce's a billionaire. The real queen.
Yeah. She's well, they're both like, are they both billionaires? No way, Kim's a billionaire yet, right?
Beyonce
and Jay-Z have billions, which is like crazy.
Yeah,
yeah, they're like.
I think that was like the point of contention between like Kanye West and Jay-Z. He got married to like Kim, and then Beyonce's just like, no, I'm not hanging out.
Wow.
With
Wow, yeah, probably.
Like,
I'm
not doing it.
If that's the case, then I respect Beyonce more. I'm with you because I think Kim Kardashian's like toxic. That whole show.
Oh, they're the worst.
And I've had arguments with like, I don't get into arguments with like feminism and everything, but like I've had girls defend it from a feminist perspective and say like it's a feminine show and like that's good for. I was like, are you serious? Like, I usually don't get into arguments.
I could see how that could be like a crazy thought.
It's
process,
crazy,
but they are like it's like. A kind of girl power because it's like sisters. Like you have all these sisters.
That's what their point was.
And a mom.
That's what their point was.
Like
yeah.
You don't really see like
yeah, there's
women.
There's no patriarchal person.
There's no guys. Yeah. I mean, the guys that are there, not like they're using them, but like
yeah,
they're the main character.
Yeah, they're the subplots, whatever.
Yeah,
but and I get that, but it's
and
like,
you get to see like because I'm a fan. I watch and. Run. Yeah, I know.
It's okay,
man. I know. It gets... Hey,
in a different room, you'd be like the coolest person for saying that. But
this is very true.
You know, we're not into it. I mean, I know Marissa isn't. She's looking at her phone. She's upset.
Our guest is lost.
Lost? It was not very hard to find.
He's like, I'm by the diner.
What diner?
Wait, if you look out the window, you can see the diner.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Is that the diner in Manhattan?
Bro, wait, if you're listening, you got to go one block up.
Yeah, you guys listening?
But we need to take a quick break, and we also have a caller on, so we're going to take real fast break. Before we go, Alex, where can everyone see you next?
Yes, so I guess tonight's too late, but I co-host a monthly show at The Standing Room with Derek Thompson, another hilarious comedian. The Standing Room is in Long Island City. I'm trying to remember the address. Either way, it's every second Tuesday of the month. This month, they're doing a fundraiser, so our next show is October 17th, which is the third Tuesday.
Okay.
If that's too confusing. But we have a great lineup.
And where can everyone find you on social media?
Everything is Alex Becerra. So as long as you can spell my name, then...
How do you spell your name, Alex?
That's P-I-S-C-H-E-R-A.
All right.
Like a pitcher's ERA. Yeah. I'm really, like, amazing at promoting myself.
There you
clearly
go. That's what we're here to help.
I really need to know.
All right, you guys, so we're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back. This is Big Talk and Brewskis.
Oh, this woman is different. She's incredible. She's just like me. She talks like me. She acts like me. I just realized what's going on. Now I know what I've been looking for all these years. Myself.
If we ain't gotta go nowhere, then why not take it slow? You usually in a rush. It's hard to get you to blush, but once you donate your body, it's hard to get you to hush. Baby, hush, no attention to the time. Let's get comfy off the wine. Baby, oil you down your spine. Let me get inside your mind. How I love it when you near. I can't help it not to stare. There's a meeting in my bedroom. I can't wait to see you there. Baby girl, just don't be tardy, miss. Come out to this party, miss. Meet me down at this address. This one you don't wanna miss. It's time to score, I promise. Won't drop the ball. One thing you can be sure, I give a lot, but you'll be begging me for more, more, more. She always wants more, more, more. And I can't get enough of her loving. And I can't get enough of her loving. I always rock out.
Tracks.net.
Hey guys, this is Big Talkin' Brewskis. I'm Marissa Smith. I'm back with Rodney Daniels.
What's up, guys?
Alex Pichera.
I'm still here.
And we've got a caller on the line. This is Marissa. Who do we have on the line?
This is Brian. Marissa, how are you?
Hey, Brian. How you doing?
I'm doing good, thanks.
Thanks for holding. We're still actually waiting for another guest that is having a little technical difficulty with his Google Maps, but he should be here shortly. So, Brian, how was your week?
It was pretty rough, actually, to tell you the truth. Just overwhelmed with running a successful company and taxes and deadlines and all kinds of paperwork, which isn't fun. So, what can I say? You know, I'm knee deep in paperwork and hating it, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that's the worst. That's the worst.
It happens from time to time. You know, we all got to go through this as part of, it's part of the perils and pitfalls of climbing the ladder, I guess, and being more successful, right? You can't do everything you love all day, every day. You got to kind of do some of the crappy stuff too, you know, like
right.
Changing the garbage and cleaning the bathroom.
Exactly. I mean, if work was supposed to be fun, it would be called vacation.
Yeah, no, exactly.
So are you an entrepreneur, sir?
I am. Well, I think the reason why Marissa has me on is I'm actually a stand-up philosopher. I just launched my career, and her and I had a great conversation. But, I have a mind-body product that makes products for stress, anxiety, depression, which, as you know, is a lot of what comedians help to ameliorate by making people laugh at their emotional angst and despair, you know?
Right.
That's really cool, man.
So
yeah,
now,
it's like the red pill or the blue pill in the Matrix. I sell those things.
Which one do you choose, Brian?
Yeah.
depends on the day, right? I think most of us are stuck in the illusion, and you know, as that guy said, that steak is fake, but it tastes so good, and I'm enjoying it.
Mm.
And yet sometimes, as you know, comedians know, we're agents provocateurs. We help to provoke people to question the reality of their assumptions about the world, right? And to really push and look at the bullshit and superstitions and prejudices and, you know, intrinsic racism and all this crap that we hold as being who we are, what we value. And that's really what we both are as philosophers and comedians, as agents of change. So yeah, I'm like everybody else. And sometimes I have my moments where I want to stay in the illusion and hold on to what I think is real. And then other times I'm forced to, gaze out into the cosmos and say, you know, there's something else going on here. I want to explore that, you know, and get some balls or courage and fucking venture out, you know,
or get on stage, man.
And make somebody laugh at me or with me, right?
Exactly. Do not fade into that dark. So now, Brian, what do you think is, like, the most effective way that comedians or philosophers can really affect change and really be a part of making people think and kind of buck against the status quo?
Well, I mean, as you know, we're really, you know, we're both the same. I mean, let's look at the history of comedy. You have, from Penn and Teller, who really have become now skeptics, right? And they're also comedians, entertainers of sorts. You have the depressive, you know, but beautiful comedian who committed suicide. What's his name? Actor. I forget. Robin Williams is an example,
yeah.
Right? You have Woody Allen. You have George Carlin, one of the great all-time philosophers who became a comedian, as an example, right? It's you know, it's great to poke fun and make people laugh, and I guess in a sense, by getting their guard down and entertaining them, then they're more able to question, right, with what they assume is reality.
Right.
So, you know.
No, absolutely. And we've got Tommy McClellan with us.
McClellan, but thank you.
McClellan, sorry.
Yeah. Oh, no, no worries. Sorry I was late. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. So, Tommy, how is your week going?
Well, let me put it this way. I was looking for 120. The address. So
okay.
Did I type in 120?
No, you didn't. I'm just stupid.
Did I give him like the wrong address?
No, like, no, I keep walking by. I'm like,
you're directionally challenged.
Yeah,
that can happen.
I kept looking at the building, like it looks like it would be 125, and it wasn't. that was good. Is that guy still on the line?
Yeah, yeah, he's still
cool.
On the line.
What are we talking about?
We were talking about philosophy and comedy and how it's. It's meant to be agent provocateurs.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with... I don't know what agent provocateurs mean, so I'm just going to agree when I don't. That's all I
yes.
do.
Yes. Nod your head and shake heads. Yes.
Make them uncomfortable.
Wait,
wait, what was that?
Oh, I said, well, agent provocateurs. We provoke people, right? We make them laugh at themselves.
David, can you turn
or
his
we,
on?
You know, we are agents of change in a sense. That,
right.
That's what agent provocateur is.
Yes.
I couldn't agree more. This is Alex. I just want to say, you put things really eloquently, and I wish I spoke like you. And I try
yeah,
to speak.
But you're fucking funny. I mean, I don't make
you
laugh.
Oh, thank you. I think you're funny too, man.
And
you could be.
Go and like, you know, commit suicide. Well, there is, no, there was a very dark element, as you know, really.
Absolutely.
I think philosophy and I mean, that's the thing is that when you push people out of the realm, the box of what society tells you as a human being or a human mind, you risk, you know, existential angst, right? But, well, I mean, Robin Williams is a great idea, yeah. Example of somebody who was depressed, you know, because we all deal personally with a lot of deep emotions, like, what the fuck am I down here for? What's my meaning? What's,
right.
You know, these are deep existential questions that most of us just bury under the facade of, well, I'll just get a fucking breast implants or lip implants and watch Kim Kardashian on TV and get the bling bling and chase what society tells me is going to make me happy. And then you realize, I'm not fucking
dude,
happy
I absolutely
still, so
think
like,
you're right, but I also think you do a lot of drugs, don't you?
No, actually, dude, she'll tell you, I'm Mr. Health Conscious. I go to the gym, I meditate, I barely even drink, actually. I should probably do more drugs. I mean, the only thing I really do is something called ayahuasca, which I don't know if you guys even know what that
is. Of course.
Yeah.
That is not a recreational drug. Just
I've
so
done it
know.
Once.
No one does that stuff for fun.
What's ayahuasca?
Yeah, I have no idea.
It's amazing.
Ayahuasca is a sacred plant medicine that's been around for about 5,000 or 6,000 years by the shaman of the Amazon, mm-hmm. And they use it to help people transcend this world, to really, in a sense, journey into other dimensions or other ways of seeing and perceiving reality.
You just used the word transcend in reference.
You know, Silicon Valley geniuses, Google, Facebook, all the Wall Street, you know, everyone who wants to be like cutting edge and become more creative or insightful is doing this as a tool to enhance and accelerate.
Dude, I'm sorry. I didn't
change.
Catch your name because I just got here because I'm bad with directions as we just covered. What's your name? Just because I wanted to talk to you. I don't know your name.
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. My name is Brian.
Brian? Cool, Brian. And what do you do for a living?
Well, I'm a stand-up philosopher, and I also create pills to make people feel better, emotional pills for depression and anxiety and stuff. You know, natural stuff, not drugs, but...
That's cool.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
can just say
drugs,
unemployed.
Guess, way,
we won't
right?
judge.
It's all like the
right.
same thing, really.
I was mean-spirited.
No, I was just kidding. I'm unemployed. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it mean. No.
I just want to know what's going to cost me to transcend. Like, I'm looking to get some of that.
Yeah.
What's that going to cost?
Well, Brian could probably answer, but I've had experience with it once. You actually have to travel to Central America.
I got to go to Central America.
I mean, you
so... could...
Correct me if I'm wrong, sir, on the line.
No, I mean, well, it's gotten so popular now, there are actually shamans in Manhattan. I mean, I read an article...
Manhattan shaman.
Any night, you get like several dozen ayahuasca ceremonies going on. That's how popular
really?
It is. Journeying or this work has gotten among certain groups, you know. But yeah, I went to Peru my first time to do it.
Yeah, yeah, that's where I was.
Did it again with a shaman just to make sure I knew what I was doing.
But same. Like, aren't you like sick for days and like don't you like
no.
poo yourself?
You feel sick.
You know, you're sick for hours. But you know what? It's almost like you're emotionally vomiting as you're physically. It feels so good.
This guy's on point.
To like vomit up all that emotion because you have no idea what's in your unconscious mind.
Wait,
we have a little thin surface of the ocean called our conscious mind.
I'm gonna vomit for hours, but I'm gonna feel great.
Thinking that's reality, and there's this fucking ocean of both light and dark down inside, really. Like, you know, millions of years of evolution are encoded into our DNA, and it's all there underneath the surface, and ayahuasca opens up all those doors, and it's a fucking roller coaster ride through a wormhole down Alice in Wonderland's rabbit hole all within the span of 3 or 4 hours, and it's fucking terrifying and also cosmically transcending, really. Vomiting feels great, believe it or not.
I feel a pretty large, like, emotional release like you were talking about when I jerk off, so
I feel like
that's got to be the same as
I was also
going to
say, do I go through a butthole when I'm going through all these, like, wormholes? Like, does that happen?
I mean, you know what's so fucking funny is that if you think about it, your hand or a vagina really, in a sense, is like a 6-inch wormhole, because if you think about it, you're in taking a small little sample of that feeling of creation, right? The creative spark that you get from jerking off, from having sex.
Nah, dude, I've had sex, and it's way better when it's not.
That wormhole. So, yeah, in a sense, a vagina is like a 6-inch wormhole into, you know, the transcendence of
I get a creative spark when I jerk off, though, so.
I don't.
I nap after.
I just get hungry and go to sleep.
Yeah, same. I was going to say, is it Brian?
Brian, sorry. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
Brian. Yeah. I definitely agree with all those points. I mean, with a bunch of comedians in the room, we're obviously always going to make fun of the over-eagerness and stuff. But, like, how are you not on Adderall, like, the way you're speaking right now? Like, this is all natural energy you got?
Yeah, he's super energetic.
Yeah, I'm just intensely passionate
about... I'm jealous, man.
...about the raison d'etre of our existence. I mean, really, what the fuck are you down here for, man? If not to... You know, what does Thoreau say, right? Most men lead lives of quiet desperation and go to the grave still with the song still in them. I mean, for me, it's all about finding that fucking song and being able to really share that journey with everybody. And that's what you guys get this because in your deepest core as a comedian, having the balls to get up on stage and risk the humiliation of that, you're pushing the envelope. So you definitely get that. And everyone does. Everyone has that inside them, I think. You know. So maybe I'm just a little more expressive about making people wake up and realize, look, this is what you're here for, to find the fucking song in you and to sing it.
Yeah, you're definitely a motivational speaker. Because, like, you know, like, we, like, pretty much, like, exert ourselves, like, on stage for, like, 5 minutes. We're just like, I told 10 dick jokes. I'm done.
I blew my load. I'm done.
I blew it. And don't let someone applause you, because then you're done for a week. But
you're still shaking afterwards.
You're like, oh, my God. They really like me.
Clapped.
So now, what would you say was, because how many times have you done ayahuasca?
Altogether now, 16 times.
Wow.
16 times?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay, I was not expecting that answer. So now, my question is that out of all the times that you've done ayahuasca, what is the biggest takeaway that you've had, like, the your moment of enlightenment that you're just like, you know, something, this kind of puts it all in perspective?
It's first of all, you have to understand that the experience you will have, if you're ready, you know, if you prepare and you're ready for it, is beyond your mind. Like, in other words, you think your imagination is unlimited, but it's not. And ayahuasca makes you realize, holy shit, I had no idea that I really have the brain of a fucking cockroach. That's what ayahuasca, it gives you alien intel. I mean, the reason why we make gods out of people like Christ and the Buddha is because they devoted their entire life to really doing the same work that ayahuasca does for us within, you know, maybe a night or something like that. You know, most people that have these contemplative lives achieve what I would call godlike or alien intelligence. And so, of course, that's why Christ and the Buddha are revered as gods. And so what I'm trying to put into words to you here is something that really cannot be described, because the human mind cannot grasp and articulate it in words. It's beyond words. It's in a realm that's beyond the mind, in a sense. But I can say to you that, you know, one particular experience was when I came out of it, and the the cosmos was literally like flowing through me. Like the Brian, the person that I identify as myself in a sense, did not exist. It was as if, you know, I was a wave that thought I was an individual, and I realized in that moment, oh my God, I'm also the fucking ocean, and I can be, I'm being it, I'm feeling it right now. Like, there's no one here, there's no one at home to be hurt, there's nothing to be afraid of. It was just like such an emotional release.
Were you naked and crying when you woke up?
That we hold as our identity, really, is what it is.
So you kind of had a connection with, like, your unity to everything. Like, when you say you're the wave and the ocean, it's like you're kind of a part of it all.
Well, yeah, but you're not a part, actually. It's more of the experience of not being a part. You're not connected. How can you connect something which is one, right? Can you connect the number one to itself? You know what I mean? It's like, you know, it's almost like saying there's a circle. Where does the circle begin? There's no connection. There's no part, right? The circle is the whole, in a sense, right? So what I'm saying to you is that, no, there's no experience of disconnection to have to even describe a sense of connection. It really just is, again, it's hard to describe. It's the collapse of duality. How about that? Because here we are in this world,
okay,
man, woman, night, day, good, bad, black, white, up and down. You know, we have to judge things, of course. And this other world that you can go into is the paradoxical collapse of duality. And what you experience is something that is beyond duality. And so the mind, the human mind, cannot really grasp that. Wow, everything is truth, right? Like Gandhi said, the seven blind men feeling the elephant, one says it's fat, one says it's got hairy tail. They're all right. But for the man that sees all seven men, he says they're both right and wrong. He goes, I want to be that man that sees the rightness of everybody, in a sense, right? That's really what the collapse of duality is. And that's kind of what Gandhi and Christ and Buddha are really trying to teach all of us, in a sense, right?
That it's all connected, and there is no individual, because we're all a sum of our whole.
Yeah, it's just one cosmic flow of information and intelligence. I mean, and it's the beautiful thing about this is that science is now really beginning to unwrap the same wisdom that these ancient teachers said, actually. I mean, you know, I don't want to go down the rabbit hole too much, but,
right,
you know, self is an illusion. You know, we have bacteria that control more of our intellect and our psychology than even we do. I mean, like, the whole explosion of what our gut does as far as affecting our emotions and our psyche, I mean, it's amazing. Like, so we're really a little ecosystem of bacteria and human cells that together create this illusion of who you are. And meanwhile, when science studies it, you know, just like the way atoms disappear into nothingness, right? Oh, wow, look, the atom is mostly protons and neutrons and electrons, mostly vastly space. Let's go deeper. Oh, quantum particles, they don't even exist. They kind of flash in and out of existence. They can travel faster than the speed of light can, and they can be in two places at once. It's like so fucking weird. How can a particle be in two places at once, right? Quantum physics is deeply philosophical because it just blows our minds, you know what I mean? But
right,
here we go. Science is discovering that, yeah, there are other worlds, other ways of looking at things, and I think things like deep meditation or ayahuasca can really help you experience and hopefully maybe live from that too, which is a really beautiful place to live from because you're fucking free. You know what I mean? That's what we all really want, is to be free and be unencumbered with all the shit that life seems. I mean, even gravity. Think about it. Gravity's a fucking bummer. It fucking sucks you down.
Brian,
you gotta resist to get up.
I gotta be honest, man. Like,
you know, it's like,
so I know I've like made some jokes and stuff. I didn't mean it in a mean way. Like, you're super passionate about it, and I think that's awesome. But I'm going to be honest with you, you fucking lost me. I have no idea what's going on.
Well, no, I've heard that all the time. Everyone says
everything
you say, you have to write like a
fucking He's with you because he does a lot of drugs. I'm not.
I mean, I was with you, and I don't do any drugs, but I just read a lot.
I just
watch a lot of YouTube videos.
Yeah, I watch a lot of YouTube videos.
I feel like I'm on both wavelengths. Like, I'm kind of lost. Like, I can kind of, like, understand certain things. It's like,
mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I've watched enough quantum physics stuff that it really does blow your dick off if you understand it and stuff. I mean,
but what if you never had a dick to begin with?
Well, then it's just you're ahead of the game.
What if you stuck your dick in something and it was blown off anyways?
That sounds awful. I don't know what that would be like.
Nirvana.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. So, Tommy.
Hi.
So now, Did we talk about your week? What's going on with you?
Oh my god, I just been doing comedy and work. I went in on an audition yesterday. That was that was crazy, you know. And then nothing too much. Just, you know, working on some stuff and comedy.
Yeah.
Got some shows coming up.
What were you on audition for?
Just some commercial. There's something my agent sent me on. It was like a commercial web series thing, I think.
Cool.
Like a web series thing, I think. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I had to fall with a bunch of boxes and get up and do it again. So,
ooh,
and yeah.
Are you like all bruised up?
No, I don't know. I just kind of, I don't know. I'm not bruised up, so.
So you
that's
just
the
fall
whole thing
gently.
About acting. You had to get up and do it again.
Yeah.
Do it again.
The takes.
Yes. Too many takes.
Who? Sorry. Go on.
No, it's cool. I like Brian. Did he call in or who?
No,
do you? One of you guys know him?
Yeah. No. I know. I don't. Brian, are you still on?
Yeah, I'm still
on. Okay,
hey,
cool,
Brian.
Yeah. He left.
No. I just didn't know if we lost your connection.
Because I came in kind of mid conversation, so I didn't know like what who. I don't know how we got here.
No,
I think what Marissa had me on for, Marissa, correct me if I'm wrong, is that you and I had a conversation about how, you know, comedians, I think, have a responsibility and a role to play in helping to foment change in society. Because, you know, yes, you can be like Howard Stern and talk about, you know, dicks and farts and all that, like, lowest common denominator comedy, or you can be like George Carlin and maybe Chris Rock, that points fun, or Woody Allen, that points fun in a more existential, metaphysical way to really challenge people to look at things, right? I mean, and that's really, I think her and I really aligned, and was that the, you know, I think the responsibility that I think comedians have, in a sense, as being people that can help to implement change in society by making people laugh at themselves and realizing the bullshit they hold on to, right?
Brian, I respectfully disagree with you. I agree with you in the sense that comedians can make a change in some. Like, I definitely think George Carlin, Jon Stewart, obviously it's been proven that he's had a big influence. But I don't think that it's their responsibility or that comedians should go in with the intent to make a change. I think that your first and foremost responsibility as a comedian is to be funny and make an audience laugh. Find your audience and present the material in a funny way. And if you make a change or you make a good point in the midst of doing that, I think that's awesome. But I don't think that you should ever, as a comedian, go in with the responsibility that I'm going to make a change, because then it's like, okay, but shouldn't being funny and entertaining the audience be your first? Maybe not even entertaining
totally
the audience.
No, you called me on that one, and you're right. Yeah, definitely.
No, I mean,
being an entertainer is something that's a comedian.
So I think that's a disconnect, important. And I think that's more of a modern notion, because when comedy and particularly stand-up began, like, you know, probably medieval times, it was the court jester, and they basically were the only ones that could speak against authority and speak against royalty and speak against the king and speak against the queen, and you could be the voice of the people and say the things that the population wanted to say to the king.
Yes, but, totally. Oh my god, great point. Yes,
you know, and so I think that in modern times we've kind of gotten out of the moral implications of what being a jester or a satirist was, and and to be honest with you, I think it's kind of like the age of Dane Cook, where, you know, you have a website and you get a bunch of followers and you appropriate other people's material. You just change a couple of things here and there.
Oh,
but as long
that's
as
true, actually.
You I've been in this game for a minute. but like, you know, I only look new. But like and I think that we have come away from our roots, where we are those change agents, where we are the voice of the people, and we've kind of moved to a direction of being pop culture. We went from being Shakespeare to being a Kardashian. And I think that's just because...
That's a little harsh.
Great point. Great point. Definitely.
I feel...
And, you know, actually, just to back you up, and there's no right here. It's a matter of...
No, there's
opinion,
no right
but,
or wrong.
You know,
I'm just going from a historical perspective, but you know, there's no right or wrong.
Cornel West, and Cornel West always calls out, young black entrepreneurs and successful people saying, hey, you've sold out. You know, like, there's no more like Martin Luther King. I mean, because Cornel West is a modern day black intellectual that has said, you know, we've lost our way, black America. And so that's a good example. And so I would say, in the same light, you're calling comedians to task also. And I think you made a really good point, Marissa.
Thanks, Brian.
I agree.
As a black gay comedian,
what?
I feel like,
where my gays at?
Where my gays at? Where my blacks at? Like, I feel like when I go on stage, I definitely have to like show a point. I actually say that, like, this is what I am. So there's not a question to like anybody in the audience as to what I'm about to talk about. I'm about to give you a black gay perspective. And I feel like that gives me a voice in this crazy world where, you know, people, like, don't have voices.
Oh, absolutely. But in terms of, like, making, like, a big political movement. You know what I mean? Like, when you get on stage.
But that is a political movement because being black and being gay is something that.
It's political.
It's very political.
That's true.
And just saying that in itself puts people in a different perspective, because I do shows where I host and there are people in the audience that have never met a black guy and they've never met a gay guy. They've never met the combination.
I'll tell you, like,
I talk about sucking dick. So shit gets really real.
Right.
Like, you know.
Well, and I'd say that that's changed a lot too, because like 10 years ago, like, you would only see a gay host in a gay room on a gay show.
That's true.
And like now, like, you're starting to see like more gay hosts on mainstream shows in clubs. That used to be like if I was doing a gig at like on Christopher Street on a Sunday at 10 p.m., then I'd have a gay host.
The gayest hour on the gay
but
street.
But I've been hosting at Broadway Comedy Club Friday nights.
Yeah.
Being gay and
amazing.
Being black.
Yes.
You know, and
you're the best,
like,
host I've had doing that 10 p.m. show.
Thank you.
Rodney. I mean it.
He's a great host.
Fun. He really is.
But, like, you know, I know, like, when I first started producing and I wanted to have, like, gay comics on my shows, that, like, I had to be very careful about, like, the kind of gay I'm booking, because it's like, if I'm booking a very flamboyant gay, then it wasn't so much that I didn't think they were funny or they weren't deserving of the spot. I didn't want to put someone in the situation where you have the audience reacting to them in a negative way, and then they're having a negative feeling about me, about my show, about my audience. And then I feel like, you know, over the past 10 years, like, that's definitely changed. Like, you know, I've had trans people that have been hosts on my shows, like, you know, like, drag queens on shows. Like, there wasn't so much of a mixture. It was like, even I'd say 8 years ago, it was like there were gay shows and there were straight shows, and there wasn't really that much of a mixture. And, like, I kind of always wanted to have somebody gay on my show, but I would probably put someone that was very, like, nonchalantly gay on the show.
Right.
You know?
As I think about my material that I'm doing based on the audience and, like, what I'm doing, if I'm hosting, if I'm just going up, like, I really think about, like, me being gay, me being black, what jokes I'm going to do to make, like, the audience comfortable, like, but still make them laugh. It's a whole process.
But you're like a great, and I don't mean this in an offensive way, but you're a great transitional gay, because, like, you've got that, like, Midwestern nice. And so, like,
really,
nobody can be mad. Like even because I see you're it cheery. Happen in the audience. It's like you get up there like, hey, God, and you're just like so, like, bubbly and effervescent. And then you're just like, and then I was sucking this dick. And then, like, you just see, like, pearls clenched.
It's
like,
so
it's
great.
Just,
oh,
like,
yeah, I love
it's
it.
Like
so
a
great.
Pearl clencher. Ooh. But then they're just like, oh, that's that Rodney. He just sucks the dick, girl. Like, you know.
You know, I like to, you know, ease in there. And then I fuck the shit out of you.
And then you talk about the old droopy balls, and it's a great time.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So, now, Tommy.
That's funny. Yeah.
I know, I'm trying. Like, it's like, how do I segue? There's no segue.
No,
just get
cool.
into it. So now, like, are you finding it hard to have relationships and be in comedy at the same time?
Yeah. Well, not, I don't even think it's comedy. I think it's just I'm a mess. You know what I mean? And mm-hmm. I feel like that's kind of part of, like, why anybody does comedy, because
we're all messes.
Yeah.
On the first segment, I was talking about, like, how I don't really, like, tell people that, like, I'm a comic until, like, I feel it.
People
like,
you're
I
dating.
Feel
yeah.
it. People I'm dating, like, if we're talking, like, then I throw it in there.
Yeah.
Like, at a certain, like, when do you tell people that you're a comic?
Honestly, right from the get-go, and that's probably, yeah, it's probably a mistake on my part. That's why things don't work out. Like, another thing is, like, I write about stuff that happens, and then, like, and then I don't know. You know what I mean? I don't use anybody's name, but it's like, if they hear it, they're like, oh, that's about us. And I'm like, yeah.
Like, for me, like, what I do, like, if I'm dating somebody, if it's, like, a negative joke, like, I write the joke, but I don't tell the joke until we break up. And then I just have, like, one of those, like, Taylor Swift, like, 6 months of, like, breakup jokes. And,
that's hilarious.
That's really
funny. But, like, while we're dating, it's like, I don't tell it, like, you know, if it's a neutral joke or a positive joke about, like, the guy that I'm dating, then I'll tell it. But if it's, like, a negative joke that I think that, like, we're probably going to fight about, then it's, like, I put that in the back pocket until we break up. And then, like, once we break up, then it's, like, I'm just, like, on the breakup tour, and I just have, like breakup jokes.
One time, and this is the only time I've ever done it, I wrote a joke, and it, like, it had her name in it, right? Mm-hmm. I'll say the joke, but I won't use her name. I'll just use a country's name. So it was, like, I was dating this girl. Her name was the United States, and... similar to the country United States, she's had a bunch of black guys inside her, right? Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I know, it's dark and mean, but she, like, was really into it. Like, she thought it was funny, and I was like, that's really cool, right? And then she would, but then, like, the next day, she was like, yeah, I thought that joke was really funny, you should tell it on stage. Also, I told my dad the joke, and I was like, oh, you told your dad?
Like, this girl nasty.
I was like, how did that go? And she goes, no, like, but English isn't his first language, so I had to, like, elaborate on the joke and be like, no, like, many men entering me sexually. And I was like, well, that's hilarious, but also, I don't ever want to meet your dad now, because he knows that I...
So did her? Did your dad try to stab you at some point?
Her dad. I never met her dad. We didn't. Laugh. It was only like a month.
Oh, okay.
It wasn't long.
Okay.
Shit.
I hate to be abrupt, but I have to go do a show.
Yeah. No. Alex, totally crush it tonight. Thanks for
crush
stopping.
That stage,
I would love to do it again.
Alex.
You guys
yeah,
are
absolutely.
Mad fun.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
Karaoke sometimes.
Yeah. Tonight, we do it on Fridays. Karaoke after the big talk.
All right.
But
next
yeah,
time.
Like have a good set, and we'll
Thank
see you.
You
soon.
I hope I do.
So now, Thanks Brian.
Me. I'll miss you.
Yeah.
like, do you feel that there is a mind-body connection?
Well, I mean, we know there is. I mean, scientifically, of course. I mean, you guys know the same thing, right? You give somebody a hug, physically, of course, and it feels good because your body releases serotonin. You have an orgasm, and you feel like in love with somebody because your body releases oxytocin. So, yeah, the mind-body connection is very real. And, you know, how strong or how deep you want to go down that connection depends on how much work you're willing to do, really.
So now, like, how, like, what do you mean in that, like, by that? Like, how much work you're willing to do to...
How many times do you want to have sex with them?
Well, yeah, exactly. Sure. I mean, if you have a baby, well, I'm just, you know, I'll use another example. You have a baby, you release, like, you know, an ocean of oxytocin. And so mothers typically fall in love with their infants, which is really good because that makes them better mothers, of course, as an example, you know. So what I mean in general, though, is that if you want to really have a strong habit or a strong muscle like Arnold Schwarzenegger's biceps, you can't go to the gym once and then you're going to get that great body. You got to be very consistent and disciplined, of course, right? And so the same thing with any kind of spiritual. I mean, think about it. Jesus had the 12 disciples. The word disciple means disciplined one. So, of course, you have to be committed and consistent. If you want to be a great comedian, you have to be able to write and rewrite and get up on stage and risk failing, of course, to become, you know, a really good comedian and to know really, in a sense, how to move and how to articulate with your, you know, with your communication, with your hands, all that kind of stuff, because a lot of your delivery, I'm sure, guys, or your communication, you know, is nonverbal. Right? It's got to
right.
be more than just, like, you know, your ability to say something funny.
No, definitely.
So my point is, yeah,
so now,
there's a great mind-body connection.
how do you exercise that connection between your mind and your body?
I mean, I think the most effective way, and again, this is the way that we have made people into gods, is by not doing really not doing anything. The art of doing nothing, you know, in a sense, really, which is what meditation or mindfulness is, really, is the way to, in a sense, unravel that neuroplastic matrix inside your brain and rewire it any way you want to, in a sense, really. That's what, and they're finding out now scientifically that, you know, meditation does so many positive things, reducing stress and anxiety and people losing weight and reversing diseases and PTSD. I mean, the Marines are doing meditation now. I mean, actually, everyone's doing it. Seriously, everyone who is, like, on the cutting edge of what the science is, from Silicon Valley to Wall Street to the Marines to the Pentagon, they're all implementing meditation practices because they're realizing this makes everybody, in essence, a better version of themselves. And so if you guys want to be better performers, you would definitely be served well by practicing doing nothing, by sitting and watching your monkey mind or the bag of thoughts inside your head try to distract you and pull you away from doing nothing. And then, of course, you catch it. You bring it back, and you start over again, focusing on your breath or a candle or whatever you want to focus on. But what happens, of course, is if you keep doing it, you get better at it, and eventually you begin to have this sense of calm and control, and you find everything in your life, in a sense. You become less attached. When someone says you suck on stage, instead of going and having a drink and, like, you know, getting drunk because of that, or you know, someone dumps you, a boyfriend or girlfriend dumps you, instead of getting depressed about it, you're like, oh, there's no one here to get hurt anymore, you know, in a sense. You liberate the self from the attachment to all the, you know, tribulations of this world, in a sense.
Like, you know, I've so definitely really tried to meditate before, but, like, to be honest with you, I suck at doing nothing. Because, like, I can't even sit on the beach and do nothing. Because, like, I can sit there for about 10 minutes, and I'm like, all right, I've seen the water, I'm in the sand, what's next? And, like, I have a hard time meditating, and then, like, and even doing yoga, I have a hard time, because then I'm just like, all right, like, I have a hard time just clearing my head, and then I start focusing on the, like, well, why can't I clear my head? Everyone else is clearing their head. Uh-huh. Like, why can they think about nothing and I can't think about nothing?
Have you tried, there's this thing, it's a type of meditation per se. I use it, I can't fall, like, I always have to meditate before bed because I can't fall asleep.
That's, oh, wow.
It's, yeah, my brain is nuts. It's called ASMR. Have you ever, it's sort of like, so some people have it, some people don't. You know how, like, when someone whispers in your ear and, like, it might give you, like, kind of like a tingly type feeling?
Yeah.
It's sort of like that type of thing. It's weird at first. Yeah, once you get past, like, oh, this is fucking weird, like, it's cool. But it's, like, literally just somebody, like, doing, like, trigger noises or, like, whispering to you. And it sort of gives you, at least for me, it gives me this, like, calmness and I'm finally able to fall asleep.
That's great. I'm glad it works. Yeah, definitely.
Wow.
There's a lot of stuff. A lot of technology now is getting into it. I mean, like, you know, Shark Tank has just last 2 days ago this new app, because everyone's writing apps now for meditation and mindfulness. You know, and so it's exploding. It really is.
How do you do that? You, like,
you know, right now.
It's on YouTube.
Okay, so you, like, watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, there's, like, a whole community for it on YouTube. It's like there's a bunch of people that have, like, a different page. It's really cool. Really weird too, like, because it's literally
just. Do
they
say things to you?
Sounds like, what are they whispering in your ear?
I don't know. They're like, it's not really words. It's just like,
give me your social security number.
Yeah. Satan is alive. no, it's
the beast has horns.
Yeah. it's more like just sounds. I know that's weird, but it's like, it's just very calming. Like, I can't even do it, what they do. You just, it's kind of weird. It's not kind of, it's really weird. But, like, and there are definitely people, like, when you watch it, you're like, oh, somebody gets off to this. And then that makes you feel even more weird. But it's like, I just want to go to sleep. So, like, it helps me. That's what I use it.
All right. And what is it called again, Tommy?
ASMR. It's an acronym for some, I don't even know what.
ASMR.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's like a, it's yeah, I don't know.
So now, Tommy, you just recently moved to the city, right?
Yeah, I lived in Westchester for a couple of years while I was in school, and then I just, I just moved to the city.
Okay, so what are your thoughts on city people versus Westchester people?
Well, I mean, I'm like familiar with the city because I've been coming in and doing stand-up, you know, forever. So, like, not forever, for since I've been here. But it's not really any different in my experience.
Where do you live?
I live on Staten Island, like, which I know some people don't count that, but, like...
It counts because that's like New York City still.
Yeah,
like,
it's a borough. Like,
it's a borough.
It doesn't count.
It does
okay,
count.
Okay, I this is how I view it. In the eyes of the government and like technically it's part of New York City.
Bureaucracy counts.
But in reality, no one cares. Like that's how
like
I think it is.
It's like Roosevelt Island. It's just like nobody.
I love Roosevelt Island.
But
I
honestly,
to get
like,
there.
I'm. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Cool.
It's beautiful.
Did you say you are getting married or you want to?
I wanted to.
Oh.
He was engaged. It's a whole thing.
It's a long story.
I'm so
sorry. Watch old episodes of Big Talk and Bruce.
All right, I will.
He's not engaged anymore. I might have to slice a bitch. It's a whole thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
It's a whole thing.
Anyways, Roosevelt Island is like where I wanted to get married. I feel like it's a beautiful place. It's a little island in between Manhattan and Queens. It's like, wow, this is gorgeous.
It's pretty.
But, you know, Staten Island is like...
Yeah.
A whole borough.
Yeah, you know why I think people don't like it? And, like, because I've been looking around.
Because you have to take a fucking ferry.
Well, that's one of the reasons. But, like, when you get there.
And it's Trump land.
That's a major reason.
Whatever that. But, like, yeah, but I think, like, the ferry, I agree. But, like, when you go to the city, you're expecting, especially if you're, like, a tourist, because no tourists visit New York or Staten Island. You know what I mean? So,
right.
Like, when you come to the city, you're looking for, like, subway, like the ferry, and then but like you want to walk the streets and like go into Macy's or I don't know what's a like a like just like
Central
New York
Park.
Central Park, just like hit all the touristy stuff. You go to Staten Island and it's like you need a car or to take the bus, like you can't just
but
walk
there's
around
a Ferris wheel that's happening there, right? That's is that happening?
I you know what's confusing? I've seen pictures where like the Ferris wheel is, and
there's
I walk
gonna be like a humongous Ferris
wheel. Yeah, there must be. I've walked by there every day, and I don't see any construction on it. But maybe they're doing it like hiddenly. I don't know. but I'm probably gonna end up moving to Florida in like January for a little while. So
yeah.
I probably won't be here that much longer. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you like Staten Island?
I don't dislike it.
Clearly not. He's moving to Florida.
I don't get why.
Touché, Rana.
Yeah. I mean, I'm.
Why Florida though?
I got a job, which I don't want to say just in case, like
yeah, that's
legal
fine.
Reasons, but
yeah.
But
okay.
Yeah.
What part of Florida?
Orlando.
Oh. All right.
Yeah.
Which, Orlando's cute.
Yeah, it's a nice place. But Staten Island, I don't dislike it. I don't really dislike any place though. You know what I mean?
Right.
I like that there's a lot of nature on Staten Island, and I grew up in like the Adirondacks and upstate. So like for me it's like, oh, this is kinda nice because I miss nature. That's one thing I don't like about the city is that like there's Central Park, but then everything else is concrete and like which is great, like but I just it's ultimately sometimes it wears on me because I grew you know what I mean? You grew up around nature your whole life and then you just move to the city and it's like
yeah like nature stresses me out
because
you never know what the fuck's gonna happen.
Yeah, there's gonna be animals, this like you know it's shit's always popping off, like you know it's just like
that's fine.
I went to college in New Hampshire, so like you know I was surrounded by nature, and my roommate was from Newark, New Jersey, and like the first week of school freshman year we could not sleep. And so, like, she called her dad and was like, can you record us city noises? Because we can't sleep. So for a whole week, he recorded, like, ambulances, people arguing, traffic horns, like, and so, like, we, like, he made a CD. And so, like, then we, like, would play it when we were going to sleep. And that's, like, the only thing we could sleep to. And, like, occasionally people would come into our dorm room, like, in the middle of the night where we're playing all this traffic. And, like, and so, like, they'd come in and we're like, hey, what's going on? They're like, wait, what is that ambulance? We're like, oh, that's just our CD player. And they're like, you're listening to traffic noises? Like, we can't sleep. It's too quiet.
That's like, funny. That's cool. That's like, I have you ever watched the show Boy Meets World? I love
Boy Meets World.
There was one where, like, Sean had moved out of the trailer park, but he couldn't. He needed the trailer park sound, so he plugged it in. It's just people screaming and, like, cutting, shooting and stuff. It's really funny.
Yeah. No, sometimes you need that. But we're going to have to wrap it up. David's given me that you guys need to get the fuck out. Look. Before we go, Brian, is there like anything that you're looking to promote for yourself, your company, any sort of pearls of wisdom that you want to drop for the 2017?
Well, I mean, if anyone's ever stressed and wants something healthier than Xanax or alcohol, you could actually try my product. It's all over Amazon. It's got a lot of five-star reviews. Two number one New York Times best-selling authors recommend it. It's called Gabatrol, G-A-B-A-T-R-O-L, and it definitely is like meditation in a bottle, it's been called. So if you ever want to calm down and feel good naturally without drinking or smoking or doing anything that's really going to give you a hangover or cause problems, it's something to consider.
That sounds,
that's awesome.
Yeah, that actually sounds good.
Is there like a like a website they can go to, or just go to Amazon?
Well, yeah. Well, my website is RX Stress, so it's like prescription for stress, or so RX Stress, but Amazon sells it as well. You can get it everywhere. It's more people trust Amazon, so you can always go there if you want to get it as well.
Awesome.
Cool. Very cool.
And
yeah,
then
cool.
I don't know if you have anything else you want to plug, any social media you want to plug, any sort of expos or anything like that you're doing.
Who, me? No, I'm good. Yeah.
All right, cool.
That's it.
Tommy,
shows
you have coming up, social media.
Yeah, right now two that come to my mind. On October 20th at Eastville Comedy Club, doing a comedy show at 6 p.m., and it's to raise money for hurricane victims. We've partnered with Direct Relief, the charity, and
awesome.
All the proceeds, the money we make from the ticket money we make from that show, go to that charity. And then November 3rd at Yonkers Comedy Club in Yonkers, New York.
You run a fun show there.
Oh, thank you. November 3rd, Friday at 8 p.m., I'm doing a show called Giggle for the Gales, which is, I used to, when I was in college.
Iona College.
Yeah, I ran for Iona cross country and track and field, and they're one of the best teams in the nation. And, the money raised from the show for the ticket money for this show will go to their program and help the athletes continue to thrive and succeed. So,
awesome. Any social media, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram?
Facebook, just Tommy McClellan. Twitter, Tommy McClellan 1, I think. I should probably know that. And then Instagram, it's like just Tommy McClellan. So.
Awesome. Rodney.
Yeah.
I am hosting a show at Greenwich Village Comedy Club on the 15th. And I'm also hosting Fashionably Funny on the 21st.
Woo!
So look up Rodney Downs on Facebook and Instagram. Rodney Downs.
Great show.
Marissa.
Tomorrow is Merriment and Mortification at Auto Shrunken Head on October the 21st. Fashionably Funny at Greenwich Village Comedy Club. We also are now available on Google Play, you guys. So you can find us on iTunes and Google Play. And right here every Friday from 6 to 8 on Big Talk and Brewskies. And remember, you guys, when Trump says that it's the quiet before the storm, that means he's about to piss on another hooker. Allegedly. Have a great weekend, you guys. Be good to yourself. Be good to each other. This is
so
Big Talkin' Brewskies. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday.
Yeah, Big Talkin' Brewskies. Marissa Smith is who you see. What a cooler combo in here.
Crack
a cold one, we're on the air.
That was cool. Thanks. That was fun. Sorry, I was like a little skip at first, but thank you. Also, I wanted to say one thing because I felt like I didn't mean it in an offensive when you were saying like you're black and gay and performing on stage, and I was like, oh, I don't know if that's like a political move. I didn't mean it as like what you're doing didn't have meaning. I didn't mean it in that. Okay. Okay. Yeah, no, it's cool. I just after because after I was like I said it, and then you were like it kind of is, and then I'm like, oh, I think I'm a dick. I didn't mean to.
Talking Brewskies with Marissa Smith.
Yeah. I didn't.
Yeah.
Oh.